This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I got an absolute legend in both the street world, the fitness world, etc. It's Cali Muscle in the building. Yeah,
thanks for having me, man. This is a dream. This is epic.
Really?
Yeah, this is epic.
Because the thing about Cali Muscle is that I DM'd you. My girl said, she goes, I remember right when I met you, you DM that guy asking for an interview, and I didn't get a response for like 4 years on Instagram.
You a lie.
On God, we can show right now.
Soon as you DM me, I responded.
I think that you might have a delay on
no,
Instagram.
No,
I can show you that.
What's his name? Today he just said the rapper. Said he didn't look at this DM. He didn't know.
No, T-Pain. I
know. T-Pain, yeah.
And when I was thinking about it, I'm like, I bet that Cali Muscle had a similar experience.
So I responded.
But 4 years later, I'm opening your Instagram.
No, so I responded the first time I got DM from you. I responded, and you like, cool, because I had just moved back to LA.
Right.
And so this today is like maybe 10 months after we were supposed to do the interview.
Look at this. June 2016.
What?
Yo, Cali, I do a podcast called No Jumper. We have 200K on YouTube. Keep in mind, we're right now at 3.7 million.
Whoa.
We interview a ton of rappers. Would love to get you in for an interview.
2016?
Let me know. And then again in 2019, just watched that back workout video and got reminded how bad I want to interview you. I got 3 million subscribers now. Let's get it.
I ain't seen none of that. T-Pain, I feel you.
And then
I
posted it, and I even said, don't tell Cali Muscle I need that interview. And then, boom, June 8th of this year, hey, bro, it's Cali Muscle Hoopballs. What with you, blah, blah, blah. So, finally.
Damn, I didn't see none of that.
Crazy.
I'm real.
I think it's good that we waited, though, because it needed time to simmer.
Yeah, but I'll respond.
Hmm.
I respond to everything.
But did you know about the request folder? Because that was what kept T-Pain from figuring out that all these people are hitting him up.
Uh-uh. So I've actually lately turned mine off.
The requests?
Just DMs.
Oh, okay.
So only people that I've follow or DM before. Some people trickle in there.
Okay.
But, yeah, because there's a lot of, you know, just weirdom, man, going on nowadays. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, so I would have responded.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was intentional. I figured maybe, you know, this guy's been in the game a long time. He might not necessarily know how the DMs work, like T-Pain, you know?
So I take pride in being one of the forefront guys on the internet.
You are.
I've been on almost 20 years since MySpace.
And now there's a million motherfuckers trying to be like you. In the fitness world in particular, it's like the most...
They don't have no personality.
Right, but everybody wants to be like a fitness influencer now.
And it ain't no money in it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, I was fortunate coming from Oakland, being a hustler, like opportunist hustler. And so I did everything illegal you could think of, except sell my booty. Everything else... Cali Muscle did.
That's dope that you said that, because in the bodybuilding world, there is kind of that whole dark area
right.
Where you know some of these guys are out there selling jerk-off videos to
right.
guys in Saudi Arabia and shit.
Now, I did something similar to OnlyFans back 12 years ago.
Okay.
It was same as OnlyFans back then.
Mm.
But once I found out the rim, like, hold on, where the women at, bro? I'm cool.
But that's an interesting thing about being a bodybuilder is that, like, you know, the gist of the job is basically like being photographed with your shirt off, looking all oiled up and crazy like that. But then if you sort of like market it towards the gay men, and we all know that gay men are a big percentage of the of the fans in bodybuilding, then a lot of the guys will look at you like you're a fucking weirdo, right?
Right.
And yeah, I assume that your like personal code might forbid you doing anything a little fruity like that, right?
Well, yeah. So, you know, I'm a part of a organization in the Bay Area, 415 Kobe. So in prison, if you, like, that was forbidden.
Right.
You couldn't even talk to a tranny by yourself.
Okay.
Because they were demonic. And they would say, oh, if I go talk to them by myself and they get mad at me, I sucked. I gave them head. Yeah, I did. And, bro, most motherfuckers go, like trolls will say something. And most people believe them. They'll believe that tranny and you would probably lose your life. You could lose your life.
Is that serious?
Yeah, for that tranny saying that he gave you some head behind the backdrop over there.
Let's rewind. Mm-hmm. Take me back to your youth. You growing up in Oakland. Set the scene for me of like what was going on in that world and what you were getting into and what your surroundings were like.
So I grew up on 98th and East Street, Drug Street.
Okay.
Fast, and right?
You were born when or what?
75 in Oakland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1975 in Oakland. So I moved to East Street, and it was fast. I'm talking dope, just everything going on. I'll never forget my main lesson in life. My mother taught me at I was about eight to ten. You know, as kids, it was so fast, we always in the window, in the curtains, looking out. Ooh, what's going on? Ooh. Right? So a dude got his head blew off right in front of my house. My mother grabbed me by the throat, man. Like, hey, motherfucker, you get out of my goddamn curtains and mind your business. That lesson took me all through my life.
So the lesson wasn't a man lost his life, this is very sad.
No.
The lesson was, keep it moving and don't be looking at that shit because you don't want to get involved.
Exactly. Because they'd come up in her house. And this is what she said. Because they'd come up in here and kill up everybody. Knowing you saw something or whatever. So that was like my number one lesson in life that I learned. So I lived in the drug area. Went to... grew up as a kid. I was a good kid. But then my little brother was born. He goes see this too. And I had an older brother. It was a genius, and I'll get to that in a minute. But so he was my role model, my older brother. So went to school, was an okay kid, just a class clown. As a kid, like I am now, was a class clown, real energetic, didn't know how to shut up, and said the wildest stuff, stayed getting suspended. And so once my older brother graduated high school, he graduated at Valley Victoria. He was my role. I mean, he was a perfect person. Dress, he was always best dressed, never wore tennis shoes, proper haircut, just an outstanding guy, man, and a genius. Graduated, like I say, with a 4.5 GPA, went to college, San Luis Obispo, the academic scholarship. So what happened was I went to the same high school he went to, Castlebyte High School. So I tried to follow his footsteps. So I played sports, he didn't. So I was getting a 3.83 GPA in all the newspapers, football, wrestling, track. So my senior year, he ended up dead at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, my older brother. And so my mother, even though she knew the truth, she told lies about his death. He could have killed himself, but I don't think he did.
How did he die?
Killed himself. Yeah, and suicide.
Do you know why or what the motivation might have been?
No, so I was just telling the tax guy just now, we was over there. 30 years later, I'm 41 now. My mother says he called her crying and said he was going to kill himself. And so I'm like, hold on. So you, both of y'all fucked up my life.
Left you wondering all those years.
And so everybody said when that happened, I changed. I got went dark.
When he
passed. Right. I became an introvert, got real violent, I stayed with guns all through junior high, all my life. I always stayed with a pistol on me.
One more question though is, did when he he called your mom and told her that he wanted to kill himself, but still did he not really tell her what the motivation might have been or what he was so upset about?
He blamed her not loving him, and my little brother was going to be the death of her because that's who her focus was and still is to this day.
Wow.
Is my little brother buy him everything. Just he's like her god.
You chalk that up to like mental illness in general, that he probably was just going through all kinds of stuff and didn't really understand or have a way to understand it?
So with suicide in my eyes, because the devil got in me other ways. Like if you vulnerable, and this, oh, I think all suicidal people are like this. If you're in a vulnerable moment emotionally, the devil be like, man, this nobody care about you. Gonna blow your shit off.
Mm.
You vulnerable. It happened to me with violence.
Right.
Like if my money got low, the devil come in, man, bro, you got that 40 cal. Go hit a bank or something. You trip. You know what I mean? And so it's the same thing I feel with suicidal people.
It's just a different demon that they're right. fighting against. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, because my demon is violence and, oh, my money low, look at that bank. And
it's all self-destruction, you know? It's just different ways of getting there.
Exactly.
You know, like shooting yourself in the head or going and doing a crime that is very, very likely to land you in prison for 10, 20 years. I mean, it's not so different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of find out with my family, the men had a curse on it.
Really?
All the men had a curse. My first uncle, my mother, brother drowned. The other brother that I looked up to got in a car accident. My brother killed himself. I end up in prison. My little brother end up in prison. And it just, right now, my cousin, 48, I just found out he got COVID. Now his kidney failed. He on dialysis. And it just,
wow.
Yeah, with the men in my family. His son got an ailment. It's just crazy.
But so you were, it sounded like you were a good student and everything, but then you also were moving around with guns from an early age. Was that just you had to?
Yeah, so what happened, in Oakland when the starter jackets came out.
Oh, okay.
Everybody started robbing for him.
Right.
So I never forget, it was this one particular dude, and he ended up getting my best friend life in prison. But anyway, so he started going around robbing everybody for their starter jackets.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm not letting this fool rob me. So I got me a 22. I was about 12 years old. And so I stayed packing it, you know what I mean? And from then, so let me go back. The reason also I started carrying guns because my mother traumatized me as a kid and pulled a gun on me.
Whoa.
So after that, I'm like, I never let nobody whip out first on me in my life.
Why did you pull a gun out on you?
Well, my little brother lied on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so after that moment, I'm like, I never let nobody whip out on me. So I went all through my life with that mentality.
Right.
In prison, whatever. I ain't let nobody whip out a shank on me, pistol, nut first.
You're going to stop the problem before it starts. Yeah.
Well, and I wasn't an arguer or nothing like that. I come from the area I come from, it's the opposite of what today is.
Uh-huh.
We dress like college students.
Right.
We wore Orgel sweaters, wear little glasses. We wanted to look proper, but was knocking motherfuckers down.
Was that you just wanted to look proper because you didn't want to draw attention to yourself in that regard?
Well, not only
that. That was the style at the time?
That was the style. All the killers looked like squares.
Mm.
Well, and it came, you know, the mafia. And just back then, when you look at the old mob movies, mafia, that was that era, looking suited and booted, and you know what I mean? Like, we took prestige in that
and
looking square.
The era now is that you go kill somebody in a rival gang, and then you, like, put it on Instagram.
Right.
Like, that happens so much, where I see a video on YouTube, and, like, oh, they caught this dude, and, like, you know, 2 hours after he sprayed up this person's house, he tweeted out, LOL, we be spraying people's houses up. And it's like, how are you seriously doing that? You're crazy.
Well, you got to think, they parents birthed a demon.
Mm.
That's all that is. That was their purpose on this earth, to be a demon. I've been on both sides, so I understand. I understand these people.
It's just the advertising of it is the crazy part. You know, if you're going to do some crazy shit and get away with it is one thing. If you're going to basically make it as easy as possible on the cops is another thing.
Well, they suicidal.
Yeah.
They like kamikaze mode. They don't care.
That's what's so crazy is to see like 60. They just seen a video about a 16-year-old kid in Philly who got 4 murder charges, and he was just, they got video of him jogging down the street, putting 15 shots in some other kid, and then jogging away.
Wow.
And it's like, how did the, I want to know about this kid's upbringing so much to understand how you get a 16-year-old kid to that point that he can just gleefully do that, you know?
Yeah. It's his upbringing, the household, the friends he around. Yeah. Me, you know, that's why I believe there's born killers. Mm. I don't know where I got none of this stuff from. Mm. When you go, you could go talk to my ex-classmates. What? When they heard I went to prison, whatever. What? That he supposed to be going to NFL. He was a senior class president, graduated with 3.83 dress. He was most likely to see best dress. I was vulnerable for that devil to come in.
But so it was really your brother passing that changed everything?
Yeah, yeah. I went super dark at that point. But so my family, I was the go-to guy when with problems. Uh-huh. Like I handled problems, so I was known to nip stuff in the bud. I was just that type of guy. But I wanted to go to the NFL. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to move from Oakland and be a good person. But after my mother did that, I'm like, and I live by this to this day. I'm going to do whatever I can to live as long as I can. Mm.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If that means whopping you first, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That just, you know, how I live my life after that. And that's God instilled. Mm. It just, I believe there's born killers. Like you talk about the little kid, 16, he was a born killer.
But it has to, do you really think he was born that way? I think he had to have been shaped mentally. Like there's got to be people around him that are basically putting him on to murder and
nobody
conditioning him to think it's okay to live like this.
Nobody put me on the rock. Mm. But I did used to, every day as a kid, 10 o'clock news used to come on. And I used to watch the 10 o'clock news and critique robberies. Mm. For no apparent reason. Like, right. I would just watch the news like, they dumb. Why he didn't wear a mask? As a kid, I didn't know why. Mm. And so when I got in bad positions, boom. Oh, I know what to do. I can do, you know what I mean? I thought I knew how to do it, and I didn't.
Well, when I think about me as a young guy, though, I was shoplifting since as early as I can remember.
Me too.
I was just taking shit.
Klepto, me too.
And then my parents taught me it was wrong, and maybe I didn't do it for a while, but then over time, I just started to do it again. And then once I met other kids who were doing it, then, oh, my God, let's go crazy. You
that
know?
Was me.
Yeah.
I would like, ooh, look at that leather jacket. I'd go in Macy's. Yeah. Look at that leather jacket. I'd just go over there, act like it's by, put it on, walk on out. Right. And so you're right. It built up. It kept building up.
So when you say the born killer thing, I see what you're saying to an extent, because there's just a lot of people that are just drawn towards doing the wrong thing, you know?
Well, and so it just, you know, you got to stay well away from them because they own one.
Right. But okay, where does your life go from there once you your brother passes and your mind state changes?
So my brother, he passed. So I went dark, got introverted, antisocial. But I had the scholarship to Fresno. Yeah. So I went to Fresno State on the academic athletic scholarship, joined the fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha, had my little girlfriend, whatnot. And so
You're in college. Does street shit seem like it's all in the past at this point? You're in a frat.
No, I wasn't in. So before college, I wasn't in no street shit. I ain't never got pulled over, never went to jail, juvenile.
Carrying guns and shit. But that was just to be careful.
Right. Okay. I worked at 24-Hour Fitness, the first one ever from the 10th grade to the 12th.
Wow, okay.
I worked at the gym. So I was already buff when I went to college.
But you weren't fucking with gangs or nothing at this point, no.
Ain't no gangs in Oakland. Hoods.
right.
Was that kid. So it's funny, all the dudes I thought was hella older than me, only like 1-2 years older, that, right?
Yeah.
Bro, I was this kid. You have any problems, come get us. We'll knock them down.
Mm.
I was that kid.
Okay.
I didn't have to, if I didn't want to, I didn't have to do that. I'd be like, hey, bro. But I was that born one.
Okay.
That liked, you know, to do that stuff. So I went to college. This one, I get in trouble.
Okay.
My roommate, so my brother died. My roommate at the time, what happened was my dorm, they say they didn't have my paperwork. So they like, I'm like, I drove all me and my girlfriend stuff down at a U-Haul. And they say my dorm, like, they don't have no paperwork on me. So a guy that took me on a tour of the college was like, bro, just come stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
I got an apartment. You can stay with me. Well, you ain't got to trip on that dorm stuff.
Right.
So I'm a loyalist. So right then, this dude was like my family. Uh-huh. He took me in. So he was already in Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. So they had a big party. So I'm over there buff. I didn't talk probably at all then.
Right.
I'm over there just watching him, you know. He getting a fight. So I come in, knock dude out. Come to find out, dude is he's the top basketball player at Fresno.
Oh, wow.
And he's a Crip, right? So he telling people or the whole university, tell that buff nigga from Oakland to cancel Christmas. This is the first time I heard that saying, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Tell that buff nigga from Oakland to cancel Christmas. I'm scared to death. I'd hunt me down a gun. I go, bro, this is crazy. So I'm hunting. I'm asking people for a gun on campus. Oh, go to room 103, dorm 103. They got them all, right? I go in there. It was like a gun store.
In the dorm?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like stacked up guns and boxes. They're like, what you want, homie? Oh, we got the 380 over here. We got the 38, got the 40. I'm like, I got $125. Oh, yeah, take this 380, boy. Here goes a box of bullets. I got that gun and got possessed.
Really?
Yeah. Well, from then, I was on the hunt for dude.
Really?
Because he was telling everybody, my girlfriend would come home. She ran track.
You were trying to run into him before he ran into you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and so I got possessed with it. And so in the midst of me getting possessed with the gun, I go back to Oakland, celebrate my little brother's birthday in the car breakdown. I had a Laguna, Chevy Chevelle Laguna, and loved it. I just had bought it, broke down, engine busted. So I put that in the shop. I'm like, I need $500.
Hmm.
Nobody, my mother wouldn't give it to me. I went to Coach Sweetie. He like, a man got to do what a man got to do. And I took that the wrong way. So I'm like, fuck, I know how to rob. I've been studying robbery since I was a kid. Kind of find out my frat brothers, because I joined the frat, Alpha Phi Alpha, they was robbing everything in Fresno.
Wow.
I didn't even know it. So they end up getting convicted, going to the feds after me. But so I found out. I'm like, bro, take me on one. I need some money. They're like, for sure, we got you. Go tomorrow night. And so tomorrow night come, and they call me like, oh, we got to cancel. Sup with bro? I'm already amped up. I'm already hype. I'm in all black ready. So I'm walking out the house, and my roommate that, you know, took me in, he was like an angel, bro. He was, to this day, he a good Christian guy, whatever. And so God sent him to me. So I was walking out the house. He was walking in. He looked at me, and he didn't, you know, he wasn't intimidated or scared of me or nothing. He put his hand on my shoulder, like, what you doing, man? I'm like, nothing, right? He like, take your ass in the house, man. What you doing? Right, I was looking demonic and all black. I'm like, nah, I'm about to go do something. I got to handle some business. It was midnight, so I'm riding my car up and down the street. I'm like, finally some senses come to me. I'm like, let me take my butt home. I'm tripping.
Uh-huh.
And the devil, he was like, bro, turn to your left, boy. Dude at an ATM. And I'm like, and I'm the type of person where when I program myself, I got to do it. So I look to the left like, damn, he at the wrong place, wrong time. I got to hit him up. Went and robbed him or whatever. And just so happened, as I'm coming out from robbing him, riding down the street, he come right behind me, get the license plate number.
Ooh.
So the reason I did it in that car, you know, me as a kid watching robberies, I think I know everything, whatever. I'm like, I'm going to use this car because it's not in my name.
Hmm.
kind of find out I forgot I went to DMV trying to get the car in my name.
Oh, wow.
And so, man, it wasn't 30 minutes after robbing that man. The whole Fresno police force was at my door.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm so young and evil and demonic, I went to sleep while they was knocking. I'm like, fuck, they ain't got no search warrants. I went to sleep, woke up in the morning, got all the stuff, went on the run. And so after that, they hit all my fraternity brothers' houses. Everybody.
Going to sleep while the cops are knocking on your door is that's pretty badass.
Oh, yeah.
That paints a picture for me, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went, got on the Greyhound, went back to Oakland, and my mother and my stepfather, like, you know, I told them what happened. First time in my life being honest with them.
Uh-huh.
And like, well, you can be on the run all your life or deal with it. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck. I was thinking, okay, I had on, you know, dumb criminal. I had on a hoodie. It was dark. They can't see me. I'm like, forget it. I could probably beat it. So I went back to Fresno, and they arrested me. And so my bail was only like $1,500.
Right.
It was like $15,000. They could have bailed me out. I got institutionalized in about a week in jail.
Really?
I was so powerful. Because everybody seen me on the news. I was buff.
Right.
So I just came in county jail regulating, and I hadn't experienced that power. So they like, we go bail you. I'm like, nah, I'm good. That this time, attack on some time if I get some time.
Right.
Oh, I was in there having fun.
You were having too much fun.
Yeah. And yeah, I was institutionalized immediately. Really? Because my life was so structured, football, wrestling, track, workout, work.
Right.
That, you know, I was like a robot anyway.
Mm.
So I just fell right into the jail life. And so what happened was I stayed in there about 6 months fighting a case. They came at me with probation. Give it here. I signed. My fraternity brother's there. My brother came down. Boom. I'm like, I'm about to get out, right? That's why I could never be racist. A black young DA was my DA. She looked at me, Your Honor, I made a mistake. I got to go to my supervisor. We'll come back at the recess. Boy, I already like, it's over. Uh-huh. I already knew it's a wrap. She came back at the recess. I made a mistake. I mean, 5 years, CYA.
What's the CYA?
Youth Authority, okay. California Youth Authority.
5 years on the side.
And so with me, everybody already told me, do not go to YA, Youth Authority, because your buff ass going to be in there fighting. You ain't going to get out till you're 25.
Right.
And I was 19 at the time. And so I'm like, let's go to trial. You know what I mean? Because I knew my max was only 7 years, I think. They was trying to give me 5. I went to trial. They towed my ass up.
Because they had so much evidence on you, right?
Yeah. And but I didn't care.
Right.
I was having fun. Like, let's go.
What do you think it was about prison that you kind of got into? You see this when you – certain people, they go into that environment, and it seems like they almost just – they just fall in line right away. Like,
well,
what was it that you were looking for that you found there?
For me, it was the I was like a celebrity.
Mm.
It was like – how I am now on the streets.
Right.
So, you the Yasa boy. We saw you on TV. You was playing football. You went and did that robbery. And I was already buff.
Mm.
So everybody like, I want to work out with you. And it was just, back then, fitness in prison was everything. Mm. If you was buff, you was like a god. And right. I was the buffest thing they had seen really at that time.
Right.
They thought I was covered for a Youth Authority. Because usually youngsters come from Youth Authority buff. But I look like a bodybuilder because I've been training at a gym since 10th grade.
Did you have decent access to weights in the gym? Like, were you able to work out more during this time period? I feel like when I watch prison shows now, it doesn't feel like they get much access to weights.
So, you know, California took the weights in 96.
The 96 is when that
happened. But before then, every day I was working out.
Really?
So what happened was when I got to prison, I caught my case in 1994. I got 2 years of working out crazy.
Right.
I was the best looking dude in California prisons.
Uh-huh.
And so what happened was in 1996, they like, okay, we go stop you guys from working out so much. So they broke it down to an hour. You can only work out for an hour at a time. So we started hearing rumors that they taking the weights. So by that time, I got to San Quentin. And Arnold, you know, he was the guy at the time, passed the bill, take the weights out of the prisons.
Do you think that was bad overall for the prisoners?
No, because and old school correctional officers hated it.
Really?
Because now you're doing calisthenics. You not only got strength, you got endurance. So with the excuse was they was worried about correctional officers getting fights.
That's what I was thinking. Is like if you have all these dudes in the prison and they're all just beast mode, they're all huge. Well, then it's like what the fuck is the guards gonna do?
Well,
I mean they have guns, but I mean besides
right,
that,
exactly. And not to mention, you could get life in prison. That's why so many snitches in prison now. Yeah, so. It's a weird dynamic, especially at San Quentin. It was real political.
Right.
And so they took the weights, but everybody, we improvised. Before they took the weights, I wrote basically a book of what I need to do to sustain my muscle until I get out. And so I would, you know, use water bags, people on my shoulders, pull-ups, dips.
Must have become
push-ups.
So much harder at that point to, you know, you can only do so many push-ups in comparison to benching 400 pounds.
No, I mean, it was funner.
It was more fun, okay.
Because you got to figure now, oh, let's make a water bag. Oh, they tripping off water bags. I lost all my time for working out. I was doing squats with a dude on my shoulders, and you wasn't supposed to do that. And so I went to the whole... End up doing 7 years off seven because of my infractions I was getting at San Quentin.
That's fucked.
Yeah. And so, no, guys to me were in better shape because with the weights, dudes, like how on the streets, they were just power lifters or something, just walking around, can't breathe and shit.
Did you feel like you almost became like the leader of your race in prison very quickly? Or would you say leader or would you say you became very powerful? And was it super racialized at that point?
So let me, I got to go back a little. So I practiced Islam for 2 years. I was an emir. I learned how to read and write Arabic.
Okay.
There was all nationalities as Muslims.
Okay.
So bam, when I got to San Quentin, everybody, all the police labeled me as Kumi 415. I'm like, what the fuck is, I didn't even know what it was. But they kept on, can you come? You like labeling me as a leader. And so finally, all the friends I grew up with, they were that. And so I started talking to them, whatever, seeing how they operated. And so what happened was I was a Muslim clerk, and I printed up something, are you tired of being tired? So that got posted on San Quentin everywhere. So the police knew exactly where it came from because it's, like fingerprints on all the typewriters and all that stuff. So they sent my ass to the hole for 90 days. While I was in the hole, I was in there with the gangs. So I'm like, man, bro, I seen that the Muslims, they was fake. They was doing heroin, dope, and they was fake. So I was like, bro, if y'all make me top motherfucker in this, I'll become a part of it. I'm not go get in it and listen to no dope fiends tell me what to do. And they like, bro, we got you. We'll make you a lieutenant as soon as you come here. Boo. And I just rose up the ranks in like 90 days. I was a top dude.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and
pretty
so,
crazy.
But it was a lot to come with it. You know, you got dudes been in it 10 years, not in that position. They try to knock you down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was fun and it was... You know, I was playing chess. I just look at my life as like I outplay chess, which I played chess 8 hours a day in prison.
Really? That's what you guys were into there?
Oh, yeah. I would. So we used to compete on who read the most books a week and chess and, of course, working out. That was my main thing.
Sounds pretty positive overall.
Yeah, especially, you know, gangs in there got a negative connotation, but we, you know, Kumi 415, they consider it an organization. I brought positivity to it. Like, I got a lot of dudes off dope, working out, just, you know, being a good person, best you could be.
Do you think you became a better person in there? A lot of people seem like they think they became a worse person in prison. You sound like you kind of kept it mostly positive and might have came out of there more focused.
I had to call some shots. Yeah. I had to get down when it's time to get down. So I was a good – so this is – that was a waste of life for me.
Mm.
I was already smart, intellectual, good guy. Being in – especially in state prison, around all them dope fiends. So San Quentin, bro, I used to sell dope in San Quentin.
Mm.
Like, I never even saw crack until I got to San Quentin. So, no, I didn't become a good or better person because I was doing illegal stuff in there. Yeah, no, yeah. Because I worked in R&R Reception Center, and anybody came in with dope, I would give them Bugler, and I, like, get a 25 rock that, you know, $25 on the street, cut that up, make 500.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it was just, and San Quentin is the worst, man. It's really so political and fun, and it's like the streets.
Yeah.
It's like living in Oakland or Frisco. It's like just always something going. I stayed in the hole at Quentin.
Mm. And, because there's so much gang stuff going on in there, and you're from the Bay, where you're from Oakland, where it's not really that gang shit. Like, how did they accept you, or what was the thought process?
No,
on
so
that?
You know, Quentin is ran by mostly Kumi and BGF.
Okay,
yeah, it's no, bro. When I did, so I did time, and I started off because I caught my case in Fresno, Delano, Wasco, Tehachapi.
Mm-hmm.
Gang, like Crips and Bloods, wasn't tripping,
right.
It was like workout, money. They didn't even do dope like Northern California prisons. They right. get a little weed, they cool. When I get to San Quentin is when I lost. I was supposed to do 5 years, 10 months. Hmm. I ended up going to San Quentin, losing all my time.
Right.
Doing 7 years off seven.
Wow.
Wow. They wild in the Bay Area, way wilder than Southern California.
So you did 7 years in total on this run?
Yeah, but I was a recidivist. I liked prison. I went back four times.
Four more times. So, okay, you get out that first time, and what do you do?
2001. I did 94 to 2001.
Okay, and then you get out, and
I get out, and so I become a stripper, a personal trainer, making bread.
Really?
Stripping alone, I was making $2,000-$3,000 a weekend.
Where were you staying at, and where were you stripping?
I was back in Oakland on 98th and E Street, down the street from my mother. I got an apartment, and so I was working at 24 Hour Fitness in San Leandro, and I was with a strip agency called Men of Exotica.
Uh-huh.
Bro, my second day out of prison, I got with the strip agency. We did a fucking strip show for like 10,000 women.
Uh-huh.
It was a John B. concert.
What?
Bro, that shit. I was hooked. All those bras screaming for me. I got out swole. I was the swolest one, and it was,
and you were dancing for chicks. I feel like chicks don't go to male strip clubs anymore. Is it still a thing? It was huge.
You got
back
some
then?
Out here. What's that strip? You got a couple of strip clubs out here that women go to.
Really?
Yeah.
So was anybody? Did you have any reservations about doing this? Was there anybody saying like, "Nah, that shit's gay to be a stripper"?
Yeah. And so
you didn't give a fuck or what?
I wanted to. Yeah, it's glad you. Boy, you a good interview. I wanted to touch on that. So me being who I was.
And by the way, I know some gang members who used to strip back in the day, and I wouldn't bring it up, but I know it's a thing, so I'm interested with the mentality.
Yeah, I know the game or something. But no, so listen, so yeah, I had an issue with it.
Mm.
So some of the guys in the gang, whatever, like, they got to the founder. They went to the founder. Like, bruh, y'all letting the top knee on the streets be a stripper? That gay shit? Bro, I found out that I had to get on them. Mm. But yeah, so in Oakland, that was a stigma. If you're a stripper, oh, that gay shit, nigga, gay ass stripper. Well, I'm like, so what happened was I started taking a few of those dudes with me that was calling themselves hardcore gangsters and shit. They like, bro, shit, sign me up. All that money getting thrown. But yeah, I went against the grain with it because I never gave a fuck. And when you get that when you get down for the get, you don't give a fuck with my, like, boy, I'd knock your fucking noodles out.
Right.
Like, I didn't care. I was like, that was good money. Because that was my plan. When I went to prison, I'm going to get out, be a personal trainer and a stripper.
Mm.
That was the plan. And then I did it within that same week.
And but, so you're probably making pretty fucking good money at that point.
Oh, man. I was
especially fresh out of prison.
I was making, like, you figure a weekend, I'd make a good $3,000 with stripping and my job. Right. So what happened was, the reason I went back, I got a car, a 5.0 Mustang, and I got in an accident on the street, on a freeway. Excuse me, on a 580 freeway. And so, you know, I'm like I am now. It's in the shop. I want to rent the top car. So I rented another Mustang. That shit was like $100-something a day. So I'm paying it, waiting on my car. The personal training shit, I didn't know it dips. So it was like, it dips in like December, something like that, where
everybody starts working out and goes on vacation and shit.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. So I'm spending money like crazy, and my money like almost went broke again. So I'm like, fuck. I get at my little brother. I say, hey, bro, give me one of those half things, man. I'm half a kilo, right? Bro, I didn't last 90 days. I got that kilo, and I'm got everybody on the block selling and woo-woo. Police. It's like, I think they had a chip in me. And that, I actually, when you see guys keep going back, because they make you get that tuberculosis shot. They force it on your ass. I think that's a chip.
They just figured out your operation so quickly that...
It wasn't 90 days.
Right.
And they threw a case on me. They said, oh, we seen you do like this. I was a third player. A lot of people haven't even... What the fuck is a third player? I didn't know either. They said, I gave a nod to one of my workers to sell dope to somebody.
Right.
Third player. Bam. I'm on parole. Now I'm fighting the case.
Wow.
So I went back to Santa Rita... got a year on a probation violation, and I ended up doing a year total, and they gave me 3 years. So I got out again after that on parole, probation, and I'm like, fuck. So I started going to Frisco because I was hot in Oakland. I started going to Tenderloins down there. Right? I'm the big dog. Right. The streets is mine. And I got a line on how many ever I can handle keys. Oh, you could, what? Sell it, boy.
So you got out on that quick bid, and then you were like, fuck it, I'm going to just keep pushing this.
Oh, I was big headed after that because I got the line.
Right.
And the streets.
So the stripping money slash personal training money might have ended up being what, like $15,000 a month? Something like that, maybe?
Maybe about 10.
And then, but selling coke is, you can make $100,000 a month, right?
I couldn't.
You couldn't. It didn't last long.
I couldn't. Bro, I was getting unlimited. That's why I knew the dope game was hyped up from movies and stuff like that. I was getting, bro, I thought I'm getting burnt. Bro, I know how to cook. My boy, we got a whole operation. I couldn't make no money.
Really?
Yeah.
Things kept coming up?
Yeah, you figure a youngster call you, hey, can I get a 9-pack? Firstly, I'm on parole, probation. I don't trust nobody, so I got a pistol on me. I'm in a hot-ass car with rims. I was one of them dumb motherfuckers. In the car, fat, fly-ass car with big rims, hella music, playing the music, with a whole 9-ounce on me and a pistol.
Right.
And I got to take it to him in the hood, because he ain't got a car. So when I get there... give me my 4,500. Bruh, I'm 500 short. So you got to go through all that. So I was going through. Oh, I'm like, what the? I can't get rich selling D, man.
Right.
So anyway, I went to Tenderloins and boom, caught a case out there. Yeah, another third party. They just started just giving me those. Third player, went to Frisco County Jail, went.
Was that stuff they did before, like the RICO Act shit? Like in terms of like just sort of these that you're describing?
So you figure this 2001, 2002.
Okay.
When so this is going RICO on.
By then, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so.
That's federal shit.
Oakland, they just start playing on that to get the big dogs out the way. Third player. Like, we seen you give a nod. What? With no dope found, nothing?
Right.
And the courts would allow it. And so, yeah, I caught another case in Frisco and did 90 days got out, and I'm like, man, this dope game ain't working for me. I think I'm going to get out and pimp. Right?
That's tight. Yeah, yeah.
So I was in the cell with this old school pimp dude. I read all of Slim, you know, all them pimp books, Iceberg Slims and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get out and be a pimp. So in the midst of me doing that, I was selling X at the same time.
Mm.
And so the pimping, that shit. My first day pimping, I knew pimping was simping.
In what way?
Pimps are suckers, bro.
You just have to deal with so much bullshit?
You're a taxi cab driver. You're a fucking, you the bodyguard.
Mm.
You the, you got to go buy them clothes, nails, hair. If they caught, so what made me realize it, my first hoe, I dropped her off on International, East 14. And she was from Frisco. And so I sat her down. It wasn't 30 minutes went by. She like called me. Like, hey, I need you to come give me this big buff nigga about to throw me in the van, right? So I pull up, I'm Lexus, big rims, with the pistol out. Hey, what's happening, bro? What you doing my hoe, man? He said, hey, nigga, the bitch got caught slipping. She was reckless eyeballing, you know what I'm saying? And I say, bro, let unhance my hoe, bro. He like, nigga, he said something. I'm like, nigga, this song Kumi, nigga. Release my bitch, nigga.
Mm.
He said, all right, this time, but nigga, next time the bitch is had. And man, right then I flashed on shooting him. And I'm like, damn, here it is. I'm about to possibly kill this man for this broad who go be back home anyway. If I'm in prison doing the hell, and I don't even know this broad.
Mm.
Pimping is for suckers.
Right. And I mean, all these girls are just going to tell on you in the end anyway, right?
You don't know if they tucking. I did it for 2 years, bro.
Mm.
You don't know if they tucking money, what they doing.
Right.
As soon as they get tired of your ass, oh, he beat me. You doing the L. Did I got ever, partners doing life.
You ever feel like you made good money during that time period, or was it always,
man,
fucked up?
I told all my hoes skedaddle and went and started cutting hair, making $1,000 a week. Cutting hair and selling E.
Really? But you got homies who have life over prostitution cases?
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
You, what's that website Maroy had that died? He used to do all the pimp videos.
Backpage?
No.
No.
I'm going to think of it. Maroy, if you look on, if you Google his name, it'll pop up all the pimp. So anyway, he used to do all the interviews in Vegas with all those guys that was getting life. And
okay.
Oh, man, I got partners in Oakland, L's. Life wow. Withouts and shit for pimping.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They really wanted to shut that shit down, huh?
Yeah, but they was, someone was doing stupid stuff, you know, beating abroad or something like that. But pimping is stupid.
It all gets lumped in with the human trafficking shit. So it's like, if you're just like pimping a couple girls, it's like you're going to get lumped in with these dudes who are shipping a fucking box container with 100 girls from China and like turning them into sex slaves and all this kind of shit, you know?
Well, yeah. I've been watching some stuff lately. What's that channel name? Yeah, Belly White, White Belly.
Oh, the Soft White Underbelly.
So I'd be watching his little thing with the guys, whatever. They evidently are professional pimps.
Mm.
That, you know, but you know, most of them been to prison, or whatever. But ain't no money in that shit, bro.
Isn't that shit crazy? Because when I watch Soft White Underbelly, it's like these are all the people that I walk by on the street, and I don't really want to talk to you or nothing. Like these are the people like sitting down doing an interview that are the most lost and the most fucked up in society. Wow. When you're walking down the street and some hooker tries to holler at you and you keep on walking.
Exactly.
That's who they have on there. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. He doing this. He came up with a great idea to do that. But yeah, I watched them guys and man, they ain't doing it. I got some pit partners. Those crumbs.
Mm.
Like for me, I had a minimum $500 a night for the bras. At one time, at the most, I had 5 bras.
Mm.
$2,500, right? With headache. I stayed with a headache.
Mm.
Like you just got to talk. So that got me prepared for LA and acting. Mm. I had to talk a lot, and I wasn't that type of guy. And so you figure $2,500. You got to get all of them a room. You got to get their nails done, hair, food, all that. Bro, you'd be lucky to end up with $500.
Where we're at right now in your life, don't you look at like a girl taking five different dicks in her for $500 in a night, and you're like, God damn.
Well,
that's tough, man.
Oh, well, they nymphos. No, all
so
of them.
So they were fucking with it.
Oh,
they didn't
all
mind.
Them, yeah, all of them nymphos. You got to be a nympho to be in that game.
That's probably a lot of truth to that. Well, so, okay, you get a lot. Did you actually, you just stopped doing that and you became a barber?
So, no. So I caught a couple of more cases. So my last case was a high speed chase.
Oh, man.
I had a pistol in the car and heroin. I was trying to move some heroin. You know what I'm saying? They said the big money was in there. So I jinxed myself, too. A week before that, I'm like, if the police get on me, nigga, it's on. We're all right. So I was in the Lexus. And so I got set up, though. I had this one of my gang associates with me. And so I caught four cases with the same police.
Hmm.
And so I end up having a lawsuit on them, on OPD, whatever. But anyway, so I got in a high-speed chase, got away, got out the car, but I couldn't get the pistol.
Mm.
So, and the guy, the police knew it was me. We eyeballed each other, passed by. He knew I was on parole, probation, everything. So they let me just chill for 3 months.
Mm.
I put the car up in storage and... This I'm telling people, they got tracking devices on your ass. So I told my mother, I'm about to get that car out of storage.
Mm.
She said, boy, leave that car alone. I said, no, I'm getting it. Got that car, got it detailed, washed up. My boy's sister was about to buy it. I'm like, nah, I love this. It was an LS400, old 24-inch rims back in 03, 04. So as soon as I... Drive that fucking Lexus, the whole Oakland police force get on me.
Wow.
Yeah, and charge me with that high-speed chase of the pistol. So I ended up doing 16 months off that. So after that, I got out, became a barber. Moved, some shit went down, and I got back violent mode. And ended up moving to L.A. in 2010.
Okay.
And so...
And was fitness always still a huge part of your life this whole time?
So that's the weird thing. Going through all this, bro, I used to pop pills from Thursday to Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Just wild, right? I mean, I was wild. Every day at 10, I went to the gym.
Really?
Didn't know why.
Some guys just got it in them. Like, yeah. Some guys, they just... That's who they are.
Right. It's like, know? When I look back on it, I'm like, God had all this plan.
Mm.
Why would... That's weird. I'm talking about, I'm pimping all night, popping pills, but I'm like, oh, shit, it's 10 o'clock. I used to take the hose with me and everything. Mm. I got to go to the gym, man. I don't care. I could be hungover. I remember one time I was doing leg press, threw up everywhere, still high, and... That was weird.
What do you think you love about it so much?
Me?
What is it about lifting that makes you just really committed to it?
If anybody in this world go to a casino and hit for $10,000 their first time on the crap table,
mm-hmm.
they going to be hooked.
Right.
My first 90 days working out, I look like a fucking bodybuilder.
You got the genetics out the ass, huh?
But I read a magazine where Arnold said you got to eat 6,000 calories.
Mm.
And so... This is the story with that. My uncle was buff. I seen that a man was supposed to be buff as a kid. Started playing sports. I was too small. So my ninth grade year playing football at Castlemont, I rode the bench. So this fucking anger just got in me, man. And I'm like, I'm going to show these motherfuckers next season. So I read that magazine. Arnold said he 6,000 calories, do 10 to 12 reps. I came back that my 10th grade year, 140 pounds. I was 99 when I started, smacking everybody.
Mm.
I was out of my mind. They like, what happened to you in that time period? They put me on varsity. So I was cornerback on varsity, all league. Like, I was everything after that. But in the meantime of that, I started getting migraines real bad. And people don't know this about me. I used to get migraines like 2 to 3 times a week, but my migraines was like strokes.
Mm.
Like one side of my body would go numb. I'd lose my vision. just you know, a host of stuff would happen in a time period of an hour. And so I went and got CAT scans, all that. They couldn't figure it out. So what I end up that lasted for like 20-something years. And so what happened, what I figured out was now I'm cured of it. I don't get them no more. I used to get allergies. But in the midst of me getting allergies, like I was a maniac working out. Like, just cramp every fucking day. So in the midst of me having an allergy, you know, sinus attack, whatever it was, I would work out like crazy to get it. And it would take for me to throw up. I would throw up everything. And so so I think it was just me having the allergies, but would work out like crazy. I wasn't supposed to go that hard. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, that transpired, bro. Shit, I was 30-something.
Right.
Well.
But you just fell in love with the fact that, because, you know, for a lot of people, they'll go work out, even if they work out 5 days a week for a few months. You know, you might feel your chest feels a little bit more poked out. But, I mean, with you, you saw crazy results, yeah, and that just got you addicted to
it. So what happened with me, but it was that fire of them not letting me play football. So I read the magazine. Arnold said he ate 6,000 calories, did that. I hate food. I don't like food now. People think I do.
Really?
I just do mukbangs and shit for videos. But if I didn't have to eat, I wouldn't.
Right.
So I force-fed myself. I used to be gagging. I came back swole in 90 days. Them motherfuckers like you. And this one, Ben Johnson, the track star. This one, Roy's first, the talks of Roy's started coming out. They started calling me that in the neighborhood. Boy, you on that Ben Johnson. Right. I didn't know what the fuck I didn't know what Roy's was. I was 34 years old. And so.
You never fucking touched steroids until you were 34?
Yeah.
So like 10 years ago?
Well, I didn't know what it was.
Really?
I remember I knocked the motherfucker out. I was fresh out of prison. Like the second day out, I was at a gas station. A dude, damn, boy, you on the road. I knocked him out.
For saying it to you.
Yeah, because in the pen and shit, you better not say that to a motherfucker.
Right.
You know, they get real angry.
I mean, you ever heard that someone having steroids in prison?
Yeah.
Really? That happens
after,
too.
After, when I was at Tehachapi, I told the story on my life story. Some of the guys was getting like D-ball and shit like that.
Right.
But I got approached with it once, and like I said, I was ready to knock him out.
Really?
Like, nigga, what? I'm swoller than you eating Top Ramen. What the fuck I need to pay? And the prices was outrageous.
Right.
Like, for one D-ball, he wanted like a case of Top Ramen or something. Like, you better get the fuck out of my face with that, boy. I'm the swollest thing in California penal system.
Yo, but is it hard to pack on size when you're locked up because you're eating fucking ramen and cans of tuna fish
easy.
And shit?
You got to think, niggas sleeping 12 hours a day, eating all those high sodium, high sugar carbs.
That's got to be the weirdest thing about being locked up is that it's terrible, but... You know, in a way, it's got to be kind of relaxing because, like you're saying, you get to sleep a lot.
Well,
you get to sort of like sit around, read a book for a few hours. All these things that you just don't get to live this slow way of life if you're like in any way motivated on the outside.
So that's why I was a recidivist. I felt more powerful, less stressed in prison. That's why I didn't mind going back. That's why dudes be recidivists. Now, if you're in a gang that is a lot of violence, you less likely want to go back. Texas prisons, oh, they got them in 120 degree weather. Like, if you go back to that, you a damn idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but in California prison, for me, it was fun.
Right.
It wasn't fun the last time I went back. I was angry. Real violent because I had lived good and had to go back amongst dope heads.
So, okay, that happens after you moved to L.A. and started
I never went back after L.A.
Oh, okay.
That was right before I came to L.A. Since I've been in L.A., it's been, you know, nothing but positivity and good.
So you moved out, and during all that, I remember you talking in a video saying that at one time you wanted to be a professional bodybuilder and you did some shows around.
Well, yeah,
what year was that?
So that's why I moved to L.A.
Okay.
I had started doing shows in 2009, right before I moved to L.A. And first show I won. out of 30 motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. So, and so I'm like, damn, I could do this
and
shit.
And that got you your pro card or did
no,
you?
No, no, I never got my pro card. So I was 34 at that point. And so I won that show. I'm like, oh, this might be some money to be made. I thought it was money in bodybuilding.
But it's only really money if you're like the number one guys, right?
So I was wealthy from selling X. I used to ship ecstasy to Denver for 2 years.
Right.
So I was making like 10 grand a week or something like that shipping E.
Wow.
So I'm like, damn, I got all this money. Let me try this bodybuilding shit. I knew it costed to, you know, get involved in it. And so, boom, won my first show. After that, I think I moved to L.A. I won the Orange County class. I think after that, I moved to L.A. Like, I'm going to be a pro bodybuilder.
And this is around the time that you first started fucking with steroids?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That's when I first learned about it.
Right.
And so I'm like, shit, I got what it takes. So I kept doing these shows and winning them. And so I couldn't win a national show, though, because I couldn't swell up my legs how they wanted me to.
Mm.
It's certain drugs you got to take to swell up your legs like that.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't have access to it or know nobody to have access to it.
Uh-huh.
And so I kept doing the shows, trying to swell up my legs, thinking I posted a squat 600 pounds, and that ain't even it. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers, they don't even know, bro, that they did it. I didn't know.
As you got deeper into that shit, were you just like kind of horrified by the amount of drugs and all the insane shit that these dudes are doing?
Yeah, so let me tell you. So I did my last show in 2014, I want to say. Yeah, I won a West Coast Classic.
Uh-huh.
First place overall. So I got at some coaches. This is my first time inquiring or getting at coaches. I'm like, bro, I want to go pro now. I did 14 shows. I think it's time. I was famous, known at the time. And they like, yeah. They sent me over a fucking list. Get the fuck out of here,
it
bro.
It was insane.
Yeah, I like riding Benzes. I like living good. I'm not poking my fucking self every day 3-4 times. Like, get the fuck out of
They're
here,
They're on
bro.
The insulin and shit, right?
All that, bro, that's the that next level. Kill you. Yeah,
yeah, that's like the next level
yeah,
of getting huge,
I tried
huge,
that
huh?
shit and almost died.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's so crazy.
Wow.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, that did you end up just being left with a... Because a lot of those guys, let's be honest, or I assume, a lot of those guys are kind of like pretty boy weirdo types, and you've like been through so much in your life that it's like you just are going to be looking at this shit in a different light.
So let me say this, and I was telling my business partner Miles, if 10th place could get $1 million, first place could get 10 million, I would still do that shit.
Right.
Ain't no money. These niggas. Bro, I remember with the Gold's Vittis, one of the top people that I, you know, like, damn, he swole. He on the Olympia stage driving a bucket.
Mm.
I come from Oakland with 12, 13-year-olds driving Benzes.
Right.
And you telling me this grown-ass man in a fucking Fiat or a Honda?
Who looks like a fucking Greek god. Exactly. Is walking around carrying himself like he's the coolest shit in the world.
Exactly. Walk around, butt sticking out and shit like driving a bucket. Nigga, get the fuck. Nah, when I seen it wasn't no money, I was like, okay. Mm. At that time, though, social media was on fire.
Mm.
Came out.
Did you think that if you really went for it, that you could have been like one of the top bodybuilders if you had really gone for it? Did you feel like you had the genetics and if you were willing to do all the drugs?
Yeah. If I was willing to, the drug part is the main part. Mm. If I was willing to pump myself every day, yeah, I would have had it. Because a good example of me is Brandon Curry. He won a Mr. Olympia 2 years ago.
Okay.
But he had the same problem I was having, was swelling up his legs.
Right.
But he got with the right motherfuckers, swelled them motherfuckers up.
I remember when I first got into like learning about bodybuilding culture, like when I first started lifting weights in like 2003. And then I started to really, I was reading the Get Big forums at the time.
Me too.
And I remember just real, like seeing all these grown men just argue about the detail in a guy's ass.
Yeah.
Like how much veins and stretch and everything that you could see in just the ass.
Well.
And like, oh, he's never going to be great because his ass isn't striated enough or whatever. And just being like,
weird.
What the fuck is this world?
Yeah, it's weird. And that's why I make fun of it in my videos and stuff nowadays. Because it's just once I saw it wasn't no money involved, it's like it's weird now. It's purposeless.
But I think you had the genius observation, which is like, there's still a role for a guy who's a big motherfucker. Yeah. It's just like, why put myself in the world of all these other big motherfuckers? No, I'm going to be the dude who goes out and does stuff and manages to get people to pay attention to him using that
like
that
Arnold
look,
did.
You know?
Yeah. Like Arnold did. And that's, I'll never forget, I talked to Arnold at Gold's Venice, and he talked to me for 30 minutes.
Really?
He like, I love what you're doing. I see all the haters. Don't worry. Keep doing your thing. And because I had did 20 national commercials. Bodybuilders have been in L.A. long before B, and they wasn't booking shit.
And why do you think you were able to be successful in that regard?
I came in with that charisma, personality. Mm. I'll never forget my first acting class, Daphne Kirby, commercial coach, acting coach. I came in. I was still rough around the edges. I had just moved to L.A. I had been in some shootouts before I'd been to L.A. I was rough around the edges. She said, I got it. When you come in the room, you be like, hey, guys, I'm Kali Muscle. Anybody allergic to muscle? So every audition I went in, that was my opening line.
Right.
Booked it.
Wow. That's amazing.
Hollywood, they just want to know if you cool to work with. So when people be like, when they be fucking glorifying actors, I'm like, mother, he ain't no, they just like him. Like, you know what I mean? People try to put, I seen when all the stuff was going on in the world, people was expecting the actors and stuff to, it's a regular motherfucker went for a role. Like, right. Y'all putting all this pressure on these people.
And there's 20 other dudes who might look kind of like you, and they're kind of big like you, and it's like, what's going to make you stand out? It's personality.
So and not only that, my advantage was I stay shredded and cut
all the time. Okay.
Yeah, those guys come in puffy. Hello, I'm Vlad. You know, just hella like, you know, robotish. I come in, make everybody laugh. But that comes from me being a kid. I was a class clown and funny. And just when you don't do, I don't care about making myself look stupid or crazy in my videos, show that. Mm.
So you booked a whole shitload of different jobs and everything. And
I was killing it.
That was probably going great. But when did you really start to feel like you went viral?
When that life story came out. Monster, oh, okay. The Kali Muscle story came out.
Right.
So I didn't want to do it. Dude was contacting me for 2 years. I'm like, nigga, I just made $500,000 doing commercials.
Wow.
I'm not about to scare these white people. And telling my story, you know.
So you were kind of scared to tell him the real story.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking you gotta just sell that shit back to him.
No, I was scared, right? And so what happened was acting got slow.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go on audition for like a month or two. So dude called me in the midst of that, like, Kali, I'm telling you, let's do this life story. Woo. I'm like, I prayed on it, bro. I was like, fuck it, let's do it.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, okay, get 100,000 views or something, bro. In one day, that shit was at like 2 million views.
Wow.
And YouTube, that's what I tell people. All these platforms make who they want famous to be famous.
It's true.
They put that fucking story on the, back then it was the front page. It's like trending now, but it was bigger back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Instagram when they had the, remember they had the, when shit go viral, what was that called? That page?
Oh, the explore page? Yeah.
Yeah, but it was called something else.
The popular page? Yeah.
So YouTube had that. As soon as you log on, boom, my shit was right there. Well, they made me, bro.
Right.
Well.
And so then you were like, fuck it, I'm going to start a YouTube channel.
No, I already had it.
Oh, okay. So you already
had it. So I already had a couple of viral videos doing muscle ups, talking crazy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So when that life story came out, Arash shot it. He is genius, bro. And he was like, we got to do another video, workout video right after that. So I did a viral video. I was all swollen up, talking bad shit, throwing weights around, and it just shocked the world.
Mm.
But yeah, did muscle up video. They hadn't seen nobody my size doing that.
Mm.
So I just kept banging out viral videos.
Mm.
Yeah, and so and at the same time, I had like 4 national commercials out.
Right.
The Geico, the Taco Bell, Snicker. I had all those. Everything hit at once.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
amazing. What happened was, though, I wasn't used to trolls. Some motherfuckers came on and said I did gay porn.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, oh. And so what happened, it wasn't just them saying it. They went on Old Navy YouTube channel and left the comment.
Old Navy.
Old Navy. They called my agent. They said, if he did gay porn and in his contract said he didn't do no pornograph, we're going to sue his ass. Bro, I got scared to death. And I didn't do it, you know what I mean? But right. I'm like, damn, if a motherfucker leave one comment, people run with it.
I can't believe it when you do an Old Navy campaign that you have to sign a contract that says you've never done porn, which I guess makes sense. But I guess that's why I never got an Old Navy deal.
So right then I'm like, I better write my book because they going to go deeper and see prison and robbery, all this bad stuff. So I wrote my book and got a publisher, which I self-published. But I got a publisher to pick it up, and I did my book right, like, immediately during the midst of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you just wanted to be the one to tell your story.
Exactly. Yeah, because that was scary, bro. Well, and when I did that commercial, I got the most paranoid in my life.
Really? Just because of those comments and shit?
Just because, you know, I did some stuff where I'm like, these motherfuckers have an idea, you know what I mean? It could come back on me.
Right.
So, yeah, I was scared, bro. Because I never took pictures or videos. And I came from that culture where we didn't take pictures or videos. I probably only got 3 pictures of me as a teenager. I got a couple pictures in prison. Like, I don't have many pictures of me young.
My whole high school career, I got like 5 fucking random photos laying around. Like there's whole periods of my life that I couldn't like prove to somebody that I existed during that time. Yeah. Period. It's all in my memory.
Same here. I just found after 36 years, because people used to think I was bullshitting when I said I played for Fresno State.
Right.
So I finally came across the roster on the internet, on Google, that solidifies that I played for.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Damn, crazy. So how would you, with the YouTube thing, like what was your process in terms of how you started doing the videos? Because it feels like your YouTube channel has been through so many different phases and different periods. And in the beginning, it was like you were going viral for doing like, you know, the prison workout meals. And, and it felt like more fake then too, because you clearly like rented a fake jail cell to film that prison
that was
meal
YouTube
video.
Space.
Really? That's where it was? Oh,
yeah, that
amazing.
Was YouTube space.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I had a good guy, Rash, at the time that did the documentary. So, I told Miles, he was before his time.
Okay.
But he just couldn't, so he started CT Fletcher's as well.
Okay.
He did his first video, he did mine.
I seen y'all working out in Compton and shit. That was other classic content.
That was the most memorable workout ever. A lot of stuff happened that day.
Oh, really? It got political? Okay.
Yeah. No, it was fun, but a lot of incidents. But so he, Raz just stayed on it. He had the mind like, oh, let's go do this video. Let's go do that. But what happened was he got slow. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, come on, bro. We got to need a video. His mind just wandered off. So I'm like, fuck that. I learned all about YouTube space. I learned about cameras, how to film, how to edit. So, bro, he fell off. I started putting up a tripod myself.
I like the fact that you quite clearly took the same energy that you had for dope dealing and drug trafficking and pimping and all this stuff and just took that same exact thing with YouTube. Like, it's the same thing. It's a hustle. You got to figure out every little piece of it to make your hustle better.
Yeah. Well, and so that's what I did. So the fitness stuff was hidden for a couple of years. Because I've been on YouTube now 12 years.
Right. So it's like you have to go through these changes. People just aren't going to want to see the same thing over and over.
Exactly. And that's, as you see, damn near everybody that was there fell off. It's because they didn't learn the transition. So what happened to me, the fitness stuff was hidden. Then I'm like, damn, it started dipping. The views, right? I'm like, damn, gaming came along. I'm like, I haven't played a game in 25 years. But I see this motherfucker, Dr. Disrespect, just made this much money. Let me go buy a PlayStation. So I bought the whole setup, start streaming. So I got the younger crowd, fan right. base. And it was streaming just allowed me to be wild, just reckless, say all type of bizarre stuff. And I was making like $1,000 a day just in donations.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So I'm like, shoot. I kept doing that for like 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'll do a workout here and there, whatever. And so that started dipping because I was on Twitch and YouTube. And so what happened is a lot of people don't know, bro. So the most of my income now is from Facebook.
Really?
99% of the world don't even know what's going on.
I know. Isn't it crazy? I hear about that from people. For us, it's like impossible to stay monetized on there. They just take it away all the fucking time for some reason. Yeah. But that's crazy that that's where all your money comes from.
Yeah. Majority of it's from Facebook. And so what happened was I started posting my old videos on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Once they sent out that email like a couple of years ago. It'd been 2-3 years ago.
Right.
I was going viral on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about YouTube was like, and people, they try to clown me when I say it, but it was like gas money compared to Facebook. And I'll never forget, the first time I heard it was from Waka Flocka. And this was like 5 years before mine got monetized.
Mm.
Waka Flocka said most of his money was coming from Facebook 5 years before mine got monetized.
Wow.
I'm like, what? What the hell that nigga talking about? Ain't no Facebook by the tie.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I started banging out. Because when Armageddon hit, at first I was like, oh, it's bullshit. That shit dipped on YouTube. And so my Facebook at the time blew up.
Mm.
And so, I started streaming. So what happened was when me and him got together, like last year or whatever, like, it just, everything got unbelievable.
Mm.
Me posting every day.
Right.
I started off, I did some workout videos, but I'm like, let's try this mukbang shit.
Right.
Right?
I was wondering, yeah, like when your channel sort of shifts into trying all these different trends and stuff, is it usually you coming up with the idea or do you have anyone on your team who's kind of like, hey, Cali, you should start doing these types of things?
So before last year, you know my team?
Your team?
Me.
Okay.
That's all it was, me.
Right.
He used to film for me 7 years ago. We split up. I moved to Vegas, whatnot, woo-woo. Everything was me, bro.
Mm.
Putting up my tripod, filming myself, editing, everything was me.
Really?
Until he came along, yeah. And so, but with the mukbangs, we like, let's try it. Let me eat on camera.
Right.
Boom! Blew up. Super viral. What? They like a motherfucker eating on camera?
Yesterday, I'm going to tell you what I ate yesterday. It's the same thing I eat most days. I wake up, I ate 3 eggs and 3 slices of bacon, then drink coffee, I had a salad, then I had another salad. Then I was getting ready for your interview, and I watched you eat fucking Popeyes while doing ASMR, and I got my ass on Postmates, and I ordered Popeyes. So thank you for that.
Hell yeah, I'm a good advertiser.
Extra Popeye. 1,000 calories right there.
Signed a real nigga up.
1,000 calories I did not have to eat there. I didn't get the apple pie though, so I felt
that. Popeye started messing up my stomach. But so with me, like I say, I'm not a foodie.
Mm.
So it's more just entertainment. Really? You know what I mean? And it hit, bro. Especially on Facebook. Oh man. I got videos, 20 million views, and I'm like, people like watching the motherfucker eat on camera. Fuck it, let's do it. You know, and then lately what happened was the cars.
I noticed that.
So, you know, me growing up, I had a nice car here and there, whatever, rims, music. So me and him was messing around, and I'm like, let's go to Dodge, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the hype is about this Hellcat or whatever. So we went, dude hyped it up and
you
whatever.
You kind of made me want a Hellcat, too.
Oh, you need one.
Yeah.
It's life, bro.
I need a garage.
Well, it's life.
Yeah.
I got 3 now. Yeah, so we went to Dodge, and dude hyped it up. So I got one, got in it, whatever, bought it. My fucking fan. I got a whole nother fan base.
It's all the car people.
I've been seeing car shit, tall guy, all these dudes do car. I wasn't tripping all that shit.
Right.
And once I got to it, it blew up. I'm like, what the fuck? And so I didn't even, people think I've been faking buying these cars.
Right.
So what happened, we bought that. I went to another lot. All this was just not planned, just me messing around. And I go to another car lot. Damn, that's tight. Let's see if I can get it. We go to finance office. You approved. I'm like, what? Oh, shit.
So you've actually been buying all these cars?
Yeah.
Really?
And so we go to another one. We go, I think he go get his, and I'm, his go viral. I'm like, shit. I go another lot, get a GT500. Zero down, boy. That's what I want. What is mine? Oh, shit.
So what, you just have like these insane monthly payments now, or you just have to be paying all the shit off?
A couple of them, like the GT63, but the other ones, no.
But how many cars do you have at this point?
Seven.
I mean, that's a lot of cars.
Bro, when I look at like, it's a couple other YouTubers, that ain't shit.
Right.
I got to catch up to them.
It just seems kind of overwhelming to have that many fucking cars.
For content, it's not.
For content, I could see it.
Right.
Yeah.
For content, it's paying for itself.
But it's like a $200,000 car is a pretty big investment for your content.
Well, all of mine are 100.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they're 100.
What was that Ghoul that you were thinking about getting?
Right, that's 200. That'll be 200. But it all, you know, as us as content creators, whatever, like I did the math and all that stuff, and Facebook is like, bro, I could... 2-3 months, just I won't even have notes on those motherfuckers off from Facebook.
We gotta figure our Facebook shit out, man. What the fuck?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Well, so yeah, it's awesome. It's working out, and the car shit on. But now we're doing vloggy, but we always add in car stuff. Then of course I got my supplement line, and
yeah, how is that? Is because it seems like it's pretty big.
Oh my! Every month.
Just keeps getting crazy. Bigger.
Since I moved back to LA.
Is it mostly direct, or you do it through supplement stores
direct.
And stuff? No?
No, direct.
Direct.
And supplement stores, they want a piece. And then, yeah, so yeah, now I got something for you, too. I brought some for you. We coming out with a gum.
Really?
Me, Big Boy, and my two other business partner. Desco just, you think I'm buying cars now. Desco have a motherfucker go crazy.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's a nootropic gum with caffeine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, have you in here? I don't want to like. what are we doing next?
That's dope.
Yeah.
Are you like? How would you describe your motivation? Like it feels like you've accomplished so much in this world and been doing it for such a long time. And a lot of YouTubers get burnt out at some point. Like they make a good amount of money year after year. They're just doing it, and at some point they get sick of it and they can't keep going. With you, it feels more like. You've been so used to hustling in so many different ways.
Right. Well,
you just look at YouTube and all this, like it's just it's a lick waiting to be hit.
So for me, I'm nowhere near what I want to be.
Mm.
So you figure my numbers this year, bro, you got kids. That's why I can't wait for my kids to start talking. Vlad and Nikki make $10 million a month off YouTube.
Really?
$10 million. All they do is unbox toys.
That's the plan?
So my goal is I want to make a minimum of 100,000 off YouTube, 100,000 off Facebook. So you know Instagram monetized, don't you?
Now you can do IGTV, yeah.
Right. So yeah. That's why I just started posting.
Yeah.
So if I get 100,000 off those every month, that's 300,000, not counting by something. I want to make $1 million a month starting 2022.
That would be nice.
Yeah. He like that, but that's bottom of the totem pole. My kids start talking, me and his focus is the kid channel.
Mm.
Two little kids, 10 million a month.
YouTube man. Kids app is a huge, if you can get your shit cracking on the kids app, you're in.
Yeah, so that's our, like we just holding on to these motherfuckers start talking.
I hear that. Yeah.
That's the plan. But you know, we got all the merch and the subs and the gum coming out. That's gonna be huge.
There's just certain things that people love so much that they just operate differently on YouTube, like the cars or babies,
right?
Or a hot girl.
Yeah.
You know, there's just certain things that just draw people's
girls
attention.
Girls still on YouTube? I thought they shut girls down.
You just have to be very careful about how you present them in the thumbnail, you know? Because I remember back in the day, you used to be able to put a big ass with, like, tiny little shorts in the thumbnail. Boom, you get 2 million views, no problem.
Well,
it's a little different now.
Oh, yeah, they let Lil Nas X ride the devil, though.
You didn't like that?
Huh?
You didn't like that?
His fan base kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, bro, like, but I can't cuss. Like, we got to censor me cussing. Mm. We beep out all the cussing, all that down.
I think that was Lil Nas X saying, like, actually, I don't want to be a kid's artist. I want to be a gay Satan worshiper.
Well, yeah, that's what I saw the interview, but, so that's like me. I know my demographic.
Right.
Just doing some outlandish, like, and they allow it. Mm. That's the thing, you know what I mean?
No, YouTube's all over his dick.
Well, yeah, it's weird. But, you know, they was on James Charles, too, and then they demonetized his ass.
Mm. Is it almost kind of weird to you that you even know about James Charles?
No.
He's like a 20-year-old makeup influencer, you know?
So,
I know all about him, too. I just think it's kind of funny that we're both YouTubers, so we know about this whole world.
No, I'm a student to the game. Mm. PewDiePie was my teacher.
Really?
I used to watch his channel, like, oh, that's how he do his thumbnails, that's how he do his titles.
Mm.
Like, bro, like, I'm just different. I study whatever game I'm in, I study it. And I observe, I got to know what's going on. So when I never forget the OG when I was in the cell with him, that was a pimp. He say, bro, you read that fucking newspaper from page to page, word to word. No matter what it is.
You got to know the world around you.
Exactly.
The more you know about the world around you, the better you'll be able to spot the opportunities.
Exactly. And he say, teach your hoes to do that too. When they're in Vegas, when they're in there, they can talk with businessmen, construction workers, whatever. And I just live by that. So I grew up as a kid wanting to be smarter, stronger, more handsome, more richer than everybody.
Mm.
As a baby, that's how my mind had worked.
I have a friend, Kiki, who I do live streams with, and he is a big-ass dude from Compton, did time, been in gangs, all that shit. And I've been telling him, like, we were stuck in traffic the other day because I had to go to court, and I made him fucking be my little security so I didn't get murked outside the Compton courthouse.
Right, yeah.
And I'm telling him afterwards, I'm like, I didn't mention you, but I start telling him, I'm like, bro, there's all these prison YouTubers now. I'm like, you... Just because you grew up in the streets and this gang shit and then you did prison time and the fact that you have a good personality, you can be one of these dudes and I can help you. I can put you with other creators, people who are going to interview you, etc. You just got to get used to putting your personality on camera and giving them a piece of you in every video.
Yeah.
What would be your advice to like a person who's in that position where he's lived this very real life? And I'm trying to tell him, I'm saying, listen, like you grew up in a fucked up situation. You got to sell this shit right back to those crackers right now. That's what this game is about. You got to take your trauma and explain it to the world in a way that they can understand and digest.
So, like my boy, Fresh Out, he got the YouTube channel Fresh Out. I was his first video on his channel.
Mm-hmm.
Went viral. He did fed time, ended up doing porn and all that stuff. You gotta want it, bro. Like, you trying to get him a channel?
I'm just telling him. I'm like, I'm gonna help you start a channel. I'm gonna help you get your videos going, and
yeah,
I'm gonna show you how to do them yourself.
Your live streams and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He gotta want it. Yeah. Like you can't force nobody to be something they hate.
Were you ever awkward your first times getting on camera? Was it weird for you to get into the mentality of like I'm gonna sit here in front of the camera alone and make this video?
So my high school friends had to remind me, you was doing all those fucking drama skits in fucking high school.
Right.
Because I tried to, I don't know when I got like this. Or bro, you was in fucking 12th grade doing whole skits in front of the whole school.
You were always that dude.
Always. Since I was a kid, I was a comedian, class clown, getting suspended and all that. Oh, but it got stunted in the environment. When you're quiet, people fear silence. And I read all those fucking war books and you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Where I felt I was more powerful with being quiet.
Mm.
So when I got to L.A., this is God honest truth. As we was driving into L.A. with the U-Haul, when I seen entering L.A., it was like a demon. just rolls from me. And I'm like, damn. I didn't know what it was at the time. Then I just became who I am now. As soon as I left that environment in Oakland, I'm with two guns, bulletproof ass, just to protect the family if it came down to it, just mugging all the time. Like, if you go to Oakland, out there, everybody, you'd be like, what the fuck going on? Everybody just a little swivel. And so that's how I was. As soon as I got to L.A., I was like, shit, I could be the old me again.
But do you feel...
Even though I'm back on swivel now.
Really? Why are you on the swivel now?
This car shit took shit to another level.
What, people coming for you or thinking they could take something from you?
Yeah, we've been in a lot of situations lately.
Really?
Yeah, especially because of cars. And I had two road rage situations where I almost wasn't here today.
Where you flipped out on somebody?
So they flip out, but I flip.
you flip a little harder.
So I had that situation. So it just been a lot of situations. That's what made me really go get my trust.
Right.
To stop, you know, in case something happened, my kids be okay. And I try to be out less as possible. Mm. We work from like around 10 to 5 at a dealership, at getting a mod done to a car, eating, just... You know, we try to stay in suburban places or whatever. And, just the devil been, you know, testing, man. And you can see in some of my videos, they call me the knife man now. Say I pulled a knife.
Oh, I saw that.
Dude,
the guy outside. He goes, I have a big Instagram following just like you.
And come to find out, he's in the circle.
Right.
So he knew what was going on.
Right.
But for me... At that time, of course, I saw him. I could have let it go. But I'm like, in my mind, I'm always thinking viral video now. Mm. I'm like, oh, shit, this could be a viral video.
But that could lead you to some weird conclusions.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because then you start doing goofy-ass shit. You start making fake beef once you're really looking for
no,
views.
No, nothing was that. It was fake.
I know, but I mean, like, if you were just always thinking, oh, I'm gonna make this into a viral video, then that kind of could encourage you to do weird shit and do goofy-ass shit that you might not really respect. I see it happen to people all the time.
Well,
you know?
So with me, it's just stuff like that. Like, another situation was dude at Venice Beach. Black dude going crazy and that could have been bad as well. It just, so I'm this type of person. I'm minding my business, bro. If you get in my business, if you get murked, that was on you. I don't feel, I won't lose sleep at night.
You never thought about moving around with security? I know it's kind of ironic, the idea that someone could be like more intimidating than you, but.
Not at this point. No, I don't feel, so it's funny you say that because I always talk about like The Rock, Kevin Hart. The life they live is shitty, bro.
They do. Yeah, I kind of agree with that because...
You can't do nothing.
You're living in a prison.
Yeah. You can't do... I don't want to... And I keep saying it, but God keep elevating me. I'm like, I'm cool where I'm at, this position. And I just keep going, getting bored. Everywhere we go, I got tape, all this. And it's like, I don't want to get to that point, man. I want to live and be... You know, cool. Like,
there's an old ass video of you working out on the beach by in Venice, and it's like somebody's filming you from really far away, and it did like 60 million views. Yeah. And the craziest thing about that clip to me is just seeing, like, a lot of people don't know what it's like to be famous and what it's like to, like, oh, you do your little set of dips and then you have to take 15 fucking photos right there on the beach.
Yeah.
And it's like, for a lot of people, they might not realize, like, oh, shit, he just had to spend like 10 minutes taking all these photos. That was crazy. Yeah.
So I got traumatized as a kid from, he played for the Warriors, Mitch Richmond.
Right.
Me and my two best friends, we went up to him. He was eating or whatever, and I was like, can we get a picture? He's like, bro, you don't fucking see me with my fucking family?
Yeah.
So I said I wouldn't. So, you know, in Oakland, we Oakland dudes hate celebrities anyway. Rob you if they know you're a town and shit. So I was one of those guys. So when I got known, I was like, I'm never denying nobody a picture. Never. To this day, I haven't denied nobody a picture.
Really?
Well, I could be in the airport, my plane late. They like, hey, Kali, but I'm like, run with me, my plane late.
But when you're eating, it can be pretty rough, huh?
Nah, I don't deny nobody.
You don't give a shit?
Nah.
For me, if I'm like eating a steak, There's just something like, I don't want to fucking pose right now.
Well, yeah. See, you got to remember, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
So I can't take that for granted. Mm. And that could be, that picture can lead, man, Kali Muscle took a picture with me. It could lead to a sale of pre-workout or, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Well, so I'd never deny nobody.
I respect it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what are you working on in terms of like bigger things, or where do you where could you see yourself going? I'm sure that there's got to be some stuff floating around in your head of like, oh, so I could right take now, this to a different level, right?
Yeah, superhero. And I'll be, you know, right now I got a show in the making. It's called Commissary Kitchen. It's been in the works for 3 years. It's almost closed. So that, the cooking show, it's to help people that been down and out or whatever,
right,
but they got good cooking skills. So that show, superhero, of course, that's right. My ultimate goal, to be a villain super. I don't give a fuck. So Marvel, DC, y'all see this, y'all know, man. And then we got the kid channel we about to have, and man, from there everything else is already in motion. Supplements, Gub, everything is in motion. I just feel they need a real villain or superhero, a real one. You know what I mean? Like all these other dudes, okay, he an actor, but get some real that been living it. I love it. I ain't gonna lie, I'd rather play a villain than a superhero.
I could see. I don't know. I could see you with villain energy.
Well,
yeah.
And it's funny. So before I came back to LA a year ago, I was kind of swolled up. I looked at my face. Nah, I need to trim up and get them cheekbones showing.
That's the flex.
Get that villain, yeah, get that villain look. Yeah.
When you look in the mirror and you just see your cheeks sunken in, and that's kind of like, yeah.
But some could go too far.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to my boy, what Soldier Boy. I saw him on there. I'm like, what happened to my boy?
He needs to eat some more.
Looking sick or something.
A lot of these rappers need to eat some more.
Well, that's like I said in the video, they eating dope.
Yeah, they're eating pills.
They don't eat food, they eat dope.
You're totally sober?
Hell, this.
Besides that.
Yeah, this.
You don't smoke
this
weed?
This is my dope. No, I used to sell it. I'm an advocate against it.
Okay.
I used to sell it. I know what's in it.
You don't think it's a good idea to smoke weed?
No, I'm an advocate against it.
Really?
I had the first seller's license from Oaksterdam.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know me, I was slanging pounds, bro. But when I used to come out of that fucking organic the store, I come out with chemicals, buckets of chemicals.
Mm.
So it's the same shit used with meth down there that we putting in the hydroponics fucking. It's the same shit.
I'm sold. Fuck weed.
He was an advocate smoker. He stopped for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dope.
And it's like we high every day. So I ain't gonna lie, me with my ecstasy experience, whatever, like it just now feel like I'm high all the time. And I'll be like, damn, is it because I used to use egg back there, or am I just getting old and see now?
When I look back at my days doing ecstasy, I definitely do not miss that. That's way too much.
Yeah, me
way
neither.
Too much.
Yeah, because I would lose like 15 pounds every. So I would use it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, lose 15 pounds, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I gain it back. And it was weird. Then I started getting this electric current thing in my head after a while. And I only use it maybe that time frame, a year and a half.
Right.
But I used to get electric current, like I'd just be sitting down and this electric thing go through my head.
That's what they used to always say, is that it would be fucking stored in your brain or some shit, and it could just seep out at any random moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe it. Well.
All right. No more ecstasy. Let's just we'll hold true to that.
Yeah.
Yo, this is an amazing interview. I wish we could go longer, but we should we should do another one at some point.
Hell, yeah. Whenever you're ready. When I get bigger. When I get that movie role.
There it is. Yeah. I appreciate you so much, man. Yeah. You got a ridiculous story, and I'm a huge fan of the content.
Yeah,
and
same here.
Dope getting to tap
in. It was an honor being here, man. Y'all stay getting your money and muscle. Stay on your hustle. Get the jealousy out your blood.
Facts. Cali Muscle, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. And every Friday, we will be listening to your music. So pull up to the live stream. Appreciate you, man.
Hell yeah. That's dope.